Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Mike Wash, the National Archives and Records Administration's Executive for Information Services and Chief Information Officer. Mike, thank you for joining us again. It's always great to have you back on the show.
Great. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, let's start with some basics. The reason why I always like talking to you is number one, you always have lots to say, but two, you're in a new position in some ways. It's been about 6 months since you transferred over to NARA and became the CIO. How's it going so far?
I think it's going really well. The experience and the challenge here at the National Archives is a great opportunity, I think, for me. And I think it also taps into some of the experience that I've had at the government printing office and other parts of my career to really apply it to the opportunities and challenges here at the archive.
Any reason you decided to make the switch? Was it just time? Did you want some new experiences? I know GPO is a legislative branch, NARA is the executive branch. I don't know if that played a role into it.
The timing was just really good. The work that I was involved in at the government printing office was very much into the access to electronic publications and providing, you know, the permanency of that access. And that translates extremely well to the challenges that are within the National Archives. Now that materials are expected to be available online, creating that permanency for electronic record access relates very nicely to the work that I had been doing at GPO. Plus, the GPO experience, we had gone through a very successful launch of the federal digital system. It was up and running. It was continuing to accept more and more publications. The work there was, things are never done, but the work there was at a point where it was moving along very nicely, and it was a good opportunity for me to join David Ferriero, the archivist of the United States, and work at NARA.
It's two organizations in government that do such interesting work and such very similar work, which is actually a great segue to my next question. So at the government printing office, you were both the CIO and the chief technology officer at one point. How are those positions similar to what you're doing now at NARA? And of course, how are they different? And I imagine the learning curve was not as big as maybe other CIOs face when they move. For instance, I talked to one CIO who went from the Navy to the Agriculture Department, and that was a big shift.
The experience at GPO as CTO was very early on in my career there, and it was really to help develop the transformation strategy for permanent public access to publications, which led to the development of the federal digital system. And I transitioned from CTO as a scope of activity to really one of CIO, which incorporated that development of the federal digital system. And that brought along with it the responsibility for infrastructure and maintaining, you know, continuity of operations, the things associated with the classic CIO tasks. So that activity at GPO was starting with hardcore strategy of how to really move forward and then into the execution and operation stage. Here at the National Archives, we have been going through a transformation that has been really underway since before I got here and is still proceeding along. But that transformation actually broadened the scope of the CIO so that it's more than the operational of information systems type of perspective. Here at the archives, the role of the CIO includes things like the open government initiatives and our social media initiatives, the digitization of records or the reformatting of records into a digital form. So the business aspects of meeting those needs for open government and digitization, along with the work associated with the information systems, is the scope of this activity. Relative to the learning curve, the fortunate part is that, you know, aspects of my learning curve were accelerated because of the experience that I've had in the federal government and in the category of records and publications. It's a different class of information going from GPO to the National Archives, but from an information systems perspective, it's fairly similar. The difference here at the National Archives is activity associated with managing the information systems associated with the physical holdings of materials. which is another dimension to the information systems that weren't, you know, a direct part of the role that I had when I was at GPO. So there's a pretty significant learning curve for me there in understanding the archival type of practices and the management of physical holdings.
One thing that kind of comes to mind is, and I think we've talked about this before, especially when you're at GPO, is NARA and GPO do have very similar missions, not the same, but they're in the same wide lane. Will your experience at GPO working on stuff like FDCIS and other things help you as you do your job at NARA?
Absolutely, on a number of different levels. The way we approached the architecture of FDCIS using the Open Archival Information Systems Reference Model, OAIS, is similar to the way the National Archives with the Electronic Records Archives, ERA program, is constructed. So that similarity is very beneficial to me and really helps in the understanding. So that type of thing is very good. And the learnings that I have accumulated in developing that type of system at GPO are being applied here, because there's good lessons learned on how to do that type of thing, of developing a world-class information management system for records or publications. Secondly, the work that we had to do at GPO and are now doing here at the National Archives is how to optimize an organization and the governance structure for high complexity information systems so that you can, as effectively and efficiently as possible, address user needs and action those into functions within a system that can be delivered. That learning from the government printing office is being applied here, because it turned out to be very effective and will be effective here as well. And much of that comes from my experience in the private sector before I joined the government.
You also have a second hat you wear as the Open Government Executive. What responsibilities does that include? How's it different, or how's it mesh with the CIO's role?
The open government aspect here at the archives is a very active activity. It's the classic public websites and that type of thing, but it's also our social media activities. We have a very active group that participates regularly on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. We are adding social media aspects to the type of web experience or online experiences associated with the access to our records. For example, in our online public access to records, a system that's actually been in prototype since late last year, we've recently added the capability to add tags and comments. So visitors to that site that are seeking information about records can put in comments or their own annotations, if you will, clearly social media type of aspects. And that is, I think, very valuable, and it's also a way for the archives to continue to engage with the end users of records to be able to help them gain the experience that they want with those records.
And which prototype are we talking about here? Because you guys are obviously have a lot of different things going on.
It's the Online Public Access, OPA. It's an element of the Electronic Records Archives program, and it's actually the mechanism to gain access to records.
I've gotten a tour of OPA. It's a fun site to use. There's so much information that you can grab from it. Imagine that's you're giving us a little bit of a hint of your priorities. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about your office a little bit, talk about some of those priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Wash, the National Archives and Records Administration's Chief Information Officer.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Wash, the National Archives and Records Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, Mike, before break, we talked a lot about your new role at NARA, how your lessons from your time at the Government Printing Office translates to NARA. Let's talk about your office at NARA a little bit. How many federal employees do you have? How many contractors do you have? And what was your IT budget in 2011?
The federal employees, we're at about 170 federal employees, and that includes the Open Government Office as well as the digitization labs activity. So about 170 federal employees. From an annual budget perspective, we, in fiscal 11, were right about $140 million, and that included the contracted activities as well as, you know, the costs associated with staff. The number of contractors is a rather dynamic number. When we are at the point where we're transitioning the Electronic Records Archives Program, ERA, from a developmental activity into the operations and maintenance mode. So in the mode of development, which is where we have been, the number of contractors supporting all of the initiatives here within our information services activities was on the order of about 200, a majority of those on the Electronic Records Archives program. As we transition into more of an operations and maintenance mode, that contractor count will come down substantially.
It's interesting because a lot of CIOs I talk to, the ratios are not one-to-one, and yours is about as close to one-to-one as you'll find in the government. Do you find that as you get down to that one-to-one ratio or even below one-to-one where you have more feds than contractors, that works for you because of the type of work you guys do? Or do you guys say, well, we're going to increase our contractors when we have projects and decrease it when we're in, as you said, the O&M phases?
I think it has worked well for us. We've used the contractor community as really our partners to get projects done, and we have contracts with a number of different contractors out there that are awarded based on the types of skills that we need to apply to a support initiative or a project or a program initiative. So it's worked really well. Moving forward, I think we're going to continue with a very similar type of model. If you could almost think of it as a very strategic type of a model where you select the type of contracted activity very specific to the type of task that you need so that we can make sure that we have very good visibility into the task and can make sure that it's tracking the way that we want it to track. So in the future, coming off of an ERA type of experience where it was really the prime contractor on a major initiative at the National Archives, we'll be moving into more of a, think of it as an agile type of model where we will be contracting activities even with the principal contractor on a program, but contracting on a task basis in a way so that we can really increment the capability of a system in a very managed and controlled way. And by doing that, I'm confident that we'll be increasing efficiencies and optimizing, you know, the use of taxpayer dollars to deliver the requirements that are really needed in systems here.
All right, you said a key word, agile. It's applied to software development. It's applied now to the workforce, an agile workforce. Now let's skip over. Let's talk a little bit about your priorities over the next 6 or 12 months. You give us a little bit of a heads up on maybe a couple of them, but what are you trying to get done?
Over the next 6 to 12 months, we're going to continue with a transformation here at the National Archives, and that relates to us here in the information services and the IT shop as well. We're moving from a very large program like ERA and into an O&M mode. So what that offers us the opportunity to do is look at ways of optimizing our organization so that we have the roles and responsibilities and functions well defined within the information services organization so that we can very effectively manage our portfolio of projects and our key initiatives. So that's one thing. Another is the whole world of what information systems and information is required to effectively managing archival records in the world of digital. I mentioned earlier about some of my learning curve of the archival processes and the holdings management type of activities that are associated with an agency like the Archives here. The way you look at those types of requirements and business needs from an information perspective, really has wonderful opportunities for us here at the archives. There's a lot of data that's collected about records, for example, the title of the record, the agency that produced the record, when it was provided to the National Archives for permanent preservation, that sort of thing. And the information world, the IT world, you know, that's metadata. And for us to effectively and efficiently manage our metadata around our records is an area of focus that we are going to be taking on in earnest here at the archives, because that core metadata associated with records is the heart of the information systems for us to effectively manage our archives. So the more we can rally around a very clear understanding of the metadata requirements in, you know, IT speak, for our archival records, the more it's going to benefit us as we start to execute strategic initiatives associated with improving the management and accessibility of those records.
All right, two things that are fairly complicated. So let's break them down, maybe make it easier on all of us. When you talk about looking at information systems and information required to really manage that archival records in the world of digital, give me a sense of what you mean by that. Are you talking about like business type of needs where you're looking at project management and program management? Or are you talking more about specific systems to say, okay, do we have the right systems in place to meet our needs today, tomorrow, in 5 years from now?
It's a combination, but it starts with the business needs. What are the business needs for managing records? You know, and that gets into the entire records management process across the federal government of what is a record, when does a record come to the archives for preservation, et cetera. So that type of metadata is a part of the business needs description associated with this managing of the records. So starting really at the business needs level will help define what the metadata is, or the data about the records that needs to be well understood and managed most effectively. But then it transitions into, once you understand the needs, what are the types of systems that are going to be required to most effectively meet those business needs? The ERA program, the Electronic Records Archives program, was established, you know, several years ago as a trusted repository for electronic records. That's an element of the types of systems that the National Archives will need to be able to effectively manage records going forward. There's the physical holdings of the records that are here, the textual records, the videotapes, et cetera. Where those holdings are, the metadata associated with the holdings information, is a system that needs to be well managed and integrated with those systems that would be able to provide access to records. So, and we have, you know, a combination of tangible records as well as, which is physical, or the electronic records. There needs to ultimately be, from a business needs perspective, an easy way of searching that repository of records in multiple formats to help researchers and the public users to determine where those records are if they want to gain access to them. In more and more cases, the access will be available electronically, so digital online access, but in some cases they'll have to come to a research room at an archives facility to get access to those records. Providing ways for those records to be easily found for access is a key part of what the information systems need to be able to support. But it starts with what are the business needs, then leading into what the architecture and relationship is between various systems in order to really realize that type of business need.
All right, very interesting. I think that helps kind of break it down a little bit, because this is a complicated thing. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about metadata and maybe if there's the one word taxonomy falls in there. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Wash, the National Archives and Record Administration's Chief Information Officer.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's capacity services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Mike Wash, the National Archives and Record Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, Mike, before break, we talked about your priorities, and you gave us the really 50,000-foot view. So I want to go a little lower on one of those priorities when you talk about metadata. Now, the metadata is the idea of the data that's kind of behind the information that someone's looking for. Give us a sense of what you guys are doing around metadata. Is there a taxonomy being created? What do you hope to accomplish to make metadata easier to understand?
Metadata is, it's the data about, in our case, records. So the things like the title, the date it was created, that sort of thing. And there's a lot more data fields associated with the metadata that's associated with records. We are looking closely at what the business needs are for our records and access for records. And the taxonomy or the schemas in some cases that are being developed to support that metadata are being driven by what the business needs are. So in our world, there's a lot of data that needs to be structured in a way that makes it so that the business requirements for easy access to those records can easily be achieved. And the metadata and the taxonomy of that metadata is what will be developed and has been developed, particularly like an ERA, to support that need.
And your goal is obviously to expand it or to refine it?
It's a little bit of both. The expand it is in the event that there's additional needs that emerge or additional types of metadata elements that emerge, which happen, because nothing is static in the world of information these days. So new needs will come up and we'll have to create another metadata element, for example. So there's expansion. But then in the enhancements really come in, I think, how you use the metadata and how you will invoke that to meet the business needs. And business needs continue to change as well. There's different needs for gaining access to records and ways of being able to actually execute some rather complex reports by using the metadata and then kind of combining those together to create some very value-added type of applications.
I want to jump over to the Electronic Records Archive. You mentioned that several times over the course of the show. Let's get into some details. What is the status of the ERA program?
At the end of fiscal 11, we officially ended the development stage or phase of the Electronic Records program, and that consisted of 5 major increments of capability. But that development stage ended at the end of the fiscal 2011. We have moved into the operations and maintenance phase. That's a significant milestone for the National Archives. In the operations and maintenance mode, we will be keeping the system up and running and operating. And there's also an element of the operations and maintenance ongoing contract, which is for corrective and adaptive activities, which will allow us in that world of dynamic information systems be able to make corrections or, you know, minor adaptions, if you will, of the system to continue to meet the federal agency customer needs.
Now, this contract was just recently, as you said, end of fiscal year 11, awarded to whom, for how much? Give us a little bit of details.
IBM is going to be our partner for O&M as we move forward. From a cost perspective, the contract is structured in a number of different ways. There's the immediate activity that is associated with transitioning essentially IBM into this project, rather, since, you know, they are not the incumbent that developed it. Instead, there's the new, that, and they need to come up to speed. So there's a transition activity that we anticipate will take probably about 3 months. Then there's the ongoing O&M, so the base work associated with actually keeping the system up and running. And then there's 9 option years associated with this, since ERA is not expected to be a short-term project. It's a platform initiative that's going to be maintained for years to come. This is a long-term initiative that we will anticipate having operations and maintenance contract in place for years to come. Then the third element of the contract is really the activities associated with corrective and adaptive, which will be in an agile type of process. As corrections or adaptations of ERA are identified and needed and well-defined, we will, on a task order basis, be able to initiate activities to add that capability for either a correction or an adaptation.
And as far as just the worth of the contract, do you know offhand?
The contract is a 10-year contract because it really lists all the option years. It's about $240 million.
IBM replaces Lockheed Martin, which was one of the initial contract to replace it. How much of a change is that going to be? I mean, because you guys, anytime there's a move from one contractor to another, is that a huge challenge to make that transition?
I'd put it in the complex. In this particular case, there's really 2 transitions taking place. One transition from development to O&M, and the other transition from contractor A to contractor B. So we anticipate some complexity because we have to bring IBM up to speed on the system as we move through the next several months.
Let me ask you about that complexity. Is it specifically just the learning curve, or is it a system complexity?
It's the system complexity. The Electronic Records Archives project and program, it's a very complex system that deals with a lot of different business processes associated with accepting records and transferring those records into a system, and then making those records accessible, et cetera, and searchable. The complexity of those processes, which may not sound all that difficult, but in the scheme of across the federal government with the various types of data, it becomes very complex. So IBM will just need to get familiar with the architecture of the system, the code that really supports that architecture, and be prepared to keep that system up and running and start into corrective and adaptive types of activities, you know, as soon as possible.
All right, very nice. All right, very nice. Well, you've been very generous with your time, and we always appreciate it. But unfortunately, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today has been Mike Wash, the National Archives and Records Administration's Executive for Information Service and Chief Information Officer. Mike, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Jason. Take care.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
18 months after the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act became the impetus behind Health IT by providing incentives for meaningful use in electronic health records, agencies are faced with the difficult task of cutting spending while delivering affordable health care. Federal roundtables at AFSCME Bethesda's Health IT Day, November 2nd at the Mayflower Renaissance Hotel in D.C., will explore how to accomplish this mission through the use of IT. Register today. FCABethesda.org/HealthITDay.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Dr. Dewey Murdick is the program manager of FUSE, Foresight and Understanding from Scientific Exposition.
There's a lot of desire to keep our decision leaders, give them insight so they can anticipate technical change rather than just react to it. So analysts are continually looking through a lot of information, trying to find what technologies and what capabilities are coming around the corner that we need to be able to respond to.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.